Greetings to all of you, my brothers and sisters. I cannot tell you what a pleasure it is for my wife and I to be here. We have long prayed for the good people here in Cayman Islands, especially during the stormy seasons. And it's just a joy to be with my brothers in ministry and sisters and see what great work God is doing in your midst. My wife and I were more than delighted when the invitation came to return to this garden. That's what we call Cayman Islands, the garden. And especially to come in February. Believe you me, we are still amazed at how God is at work in your midst. He's doing great and marvelous things. I want to share with you, first I want to give honor to your chairman, who so graciously picked me up at the airport and transported my wife and I to our hotel. And thanks for your wonderful accommodations. You have not left any good thing unattended. I want to speak to you from John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And parenthetically, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My subject this morning is this, a great gift from a gracious God. A great gift from a gracious God. When I read this text again in my devotion in preparation for this service, it dawned upon me that there was a parallel between what was going on in the world of the early disciples and what is going on in our world today. An incredible event has taken place for which the world needs to become more informed. About a month ago, I was privileged to be invited to an inauguration along with other thousands. And as I sat there, just before the platform on the congressional grounds of our nation, I was there to witness the inauguration of a new leader. I remember telling my wife, I must go. Regardless of the temperature, I must go. And it was cold. But I asked myself as I was sitting there trying to protect myself as best I could from the wind and chill of the moment, what are you doing here? This is too cold for anything. And suddenly the answer came equally as fast. I'm here to witness an incredible moment in history. I'm here to pay tribute to the founders of our nation. I'm here to bear testimony to the magnificent way those founders gave birth to a nation. And each age is given the opportunity to make it better, to perfect the union. I'm here to watch a man raise his hand and take the oath. And after that moment, I am ready to go. For I will then have witnessed an incredible event. The breaking of a ceiling that so long kept minds with great potential from expressing themselves and achieving that potential. And suddenly it dawned upon me. I am reliving history. For there was a time in early history when the minds of the world were incredibly bound by an idea that was false, but an idea that was strongly limiting their connection with God. For in that world, they too believed that something was impossible and the incredible could not happen. And it's impossible for God to step behind his veil and actually live in the world that we live in. And feel what we feel. And go through what we go through. It is impossible for he who is spirit to ever be in union with flesh.
That's incredible. Pluto said it. Plato told him, yes, there's more up there. But what is up there, we cannot really know it. It is perfect, but that perfection there can never be lived out down here. And yet, these writers of the gospel experience something in Jesus Christ that raised the world to its tiptoes. And they began to understand that God is the master of that which is credible. From the founding of the world, God has been doing what? The incredible. He's been doing things which others say is impossible. He has removed that which has kept people from realizing their potential and developing their lives and connecting with a God who makes all things possible. The incredible, he specializes in it. And John, in writing the story of Jesus, tells it a little differently from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because John wants to shout to the masses, it's possible. It's possible. He understood that the things that keep us small when we could be big are the things that are in our mind that limit our thinking and cripple our believing. That the things that war against our progress are not material in nature, they are spiritual in nature. That the things which hold a man down and keep him from realizing his true spiritual stature are not things for which he cannot overcome, but there are things for which he needs God's help to overcome. And so in this way of John's understanding of the nature of a problem that we humans have to deal with, John says, it's incredible what God can do when we understand who God is. It's incredible what God can do when you really understand who God is. So I guess the question is, do you really know him? And John says, if you have any doubt about his ability to overcome anything in your life, if you have any doubt about his ability to make a place and room for you in this world, if you have any doubt about his ability to manage the situations you find yourself going through, if you have any doubt of his ability to bring victory out of defeat, to bring progress out of regress, to lift you rather than to keep you down, if you have any doubt what God can do with your life, consider the gifts of God. Because there are three magnificent gifts that God has given each of us that if you understand them, it strengthens your faith and it empowers you to live out of his love and do in the world what God has called upon you to do. Let me talk about those three little gifts that I believe are simply gifts from a gracious God. The first gift. They all come in the form of a miracle, but it's the miracle that comes through Christ. A miracle that comes through Christ is his gift to you. It's a miracle that comes through Christ. And it's a gift for you. The miracle is the capacity to cross over, to move beyond where you are into the things of God. It's a miracle that expressed in these words, and the Word became flesh. Incredible. That God can move from spirit into flesh. Incredible. That a holy God could be in a body that is so volatile with contrary movements, and yet he's still God. That a holy God could take hold of that which is inherently weak and be strong in the midst of it. That a holy God could give to you and give to us and give to all who embrace him the power to live out God's will in a very wicked world. It is this marvelous miracle that becomes a gift to each of us. That God essentially says to all of us,
miracle, the capacity to cross over. I give you this miracle to live for me in the midst of a wicked world. I give to you this realization that I am the one who conquers everything. And if you allow me to be Lord in your life, you too can say, with God, all things are possible. It's a gift. It's a gift. When my father and mother had me, they didn't tell me all that came with the gift of their parenting. But one of the things I discovered as a little child is that my daddy can fix anything. Anything that got broken, I took it to my daddy. Because what came with him was this gift. If something's going wrong, come to me. And I'm glad I have such a gracious father who can in many ways illustrate our relationship to God. Because as a little child, I took him my broken toys and he fixed it. I took him my empty pockets and he filled them. I took him my hungry stomach and he put food in it. I took him my life and he clothed me with opportunities. What God has done for us is far greater than what my father did for me. But when God says, I have crossed over, I have conquered the very arena in which you live. I have come into flesh so that I can give you this gift of my presence that enables you to live in this world in a body of weakness, but strong for God. You know who makes us strong? God does. You know who keeps us going? God does. He's crossed over and he says, now I want you to cross over. He's moved into flesh. He said, and now I want you to move in your flesh and control its impulses and be able to conquer its temptations. I give you the gift of my presence and my promise and my commitment that what I have done for the flesh, you now can do in flesh. You can honor God. You can live for him. You can praise him. He did it so that we could do it. He came so that we could know this God who is an awesome God, who does incredible things, who could stop you from saying, I can't do it, or it can't be done, to stop you from believing, I can't make it, I can't take it. He crossed over to live in flesh so that he could show us the exceeding greatness of his power, that with God, all things are possible. Say all things.
Amen.
Don't let nothing keep you from doing the will of God. Don't let nothing take away the joy of the Lord. Don't let nothing stop you from praising your God. Don't let nothing keep you living a small life when God has called you to a bigger life. Don't let anything hinder you and keep you from achieving what God has in store for you. Don't let anything overcome you when God says, greater is he that's in us. Who is in us? He who crossed over. Who's in us? He who conquered flesh. Ah, what a gift. The miracle that comes through Christ, the crossover from death to life, from defeat to victory, even from illness to health. Oh, but there's a second miracle. Not only the miracle that comes through Christ, but the miracle that comes through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. You see, God has expanded the apertures of our eyes. We see more when we live in union with God. We see more. I've often, in reading the lives of scholars, come to appreciate their humility. Scholars always see more than what non-scholars see. They look deeper. They see what others miss. That's the reason they write as they write, do what they do. They see more. I remember when I was younger, some things would upset me, and I'd run to my mother for that wonderful connection with her breasts. She'd hold me and hug me. And all she says, it'll be all right. I used to say, but Mom, you don't understand. She'd always say, but it'll be all right. How could she do that? She sees more. She knows this. This will pass. This will be healed. How many times she said, come here, boy, let me kiss it. And I believe this little child, mother's got magic on her lips. And isn't it wonderful to see children who believe that? And they come crying, and all you do is reach out, you go, and they stop crying, and they go away laughing. Because there's some healing in mother's hugs and kisses. But the truth is, mother knows more. She knows that in time, God will work all things together for good. He knows what he's got planned for your life. And he knows how he's going to put things together in such wise that what you are going through will work for your betterment, not your worst. So God smiles and he says, it will be all right. Trust me. Now watch this miracle. Opening our eyes. For so many of us, our biggest problem is that we see so little. And we don't realize that what God wants us to do is allow him to become Lord in our lives so that he can impart to us that knowledge that we need to live with peace and live with joy and live with love. He wants to show us something. And John tells us, he says, the word became flesh. The crossover happened. And we beheld his glory. That's what God wants us to know. He has glory. That's what he wants us to see. He is glorious. You see, that word glory refers to the countenance of God. It refers to the inner life of God. That in God there is something that has radiance to it. It comes out of who he is. That he is a God who is victorious because of the power that is in him. Have you ever seen a woman in all of her beauty? You will see a woman in all of her beauty when she is with child. And there's something about her countenance. Oh, I know she wonders about how she looks. But she cannot hide what's on her face. There is something beautiful at work in her that radiates. Let me tell you, the miracle that God brings to us through the Holy Spirit is this miracle of victory. It's this miracle of faith. I believe in the one who's crossed over, who gives me the capacity to cross over. I believe in the one who has worked on my behalf, and I love him with everything that is in me. I love him dearly. There is a radiance that comes because there is a peace that's on the inside that manifests itself on the outside because he has taught me that he is in control. I'm going to tell you, the devil can do whatever he wants, but he can't take this from me. My God's still in control. I may have an illness, but my God is still in control. I may be unemployed, but my God is still in control. I may have people talk about me, but my God is still in control. I may not be able to control everything going on around me, but my God is still under control. My family may be falling apart, but my God is still under control. My business may be going down, but my God is still in control. Because why? There's a radiance that comes out of his essence that reminds us, I'm still here, you know. And a God who is here is a God who is able. Oh, what a gift. And a part of the reason he calls us to faith is so that faith can work on the inside and produce a radiance on the outside that says God is here. He just doesn't want to have radiance up on a mountaintop. A radiance simply in a sanctuary. He wants to have radiance that comes out of a human life that believes him, that he's still in control. Still in control. Have you ever seen? I don't know why all these illustrations, my wife will tell me later, are coming from women. But have you ever seen a young lady who's become engaged? Have you seen the way there is a radiance? That something has happened. Why? Something's happened inside of her that has changed her outlook on life. She's looking forward to something that gives what? Radiance to her being. We beheld his glory. We saw what was in him. It was power at work in him. It was knowledge at work in him. He taught like none other. He did what no other could do. What was in him produced radiance on the outside. Because what is in you will be seen on the outside. And if peace of God is there, the joy of the Lord cannot be here. In fact, the disciples once healed a man, or Jesus did, and told him, don't go and tell anybody. But Jesus knew he was going to tell him, you can't hide radiance. Can't hide it. Oh, the glory of the Lord. What a gift. God, you give to us the opportunity to receive your life so that outwardly we can let people know I'm walking with God. There's a difference in a Christian's walk. You smell better. You look better. You walk better. You relate. Faith is operating on the inside, creating a radiance on the outside. And somebody will take note that you have been with Jesus. Let me come quickly to my last point. This miracle that comes to us through Christ, God's strength and power to cross over. This miracle that comes through the Holy Spirit allows me to see more about life. Life isn't as disturbing as it would ordinarily be. Temptations aren't as strong as they ordinarily would be. Life can be lived with victory and peace and joy, because who's living on the inside, creating radiance on the outside? But last but not least, there's a miracle that comes through the acts, or through acts inspired by grace and truth. A lot of people are trying to figure out how you live life. And God is out to do essentially one thing. God is out to change us. He is out to change us. Do we need changing? We know we need changing. The wages of sin are death. We know we need changing. Love your enemies. Oh, we need to be changed to do that. Have faith in me. We need changing. We can't just keep blaming our behavior on what other people did to us. God said, I want to make you a brand new person, and let me tell you how. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. We discovered that there's more to His coming in us than what we thought. We could do things we otherwise thought we could not do. That we can bring glory to God. His radiance can appear. And what we discovered out of living under His Lordship is that He is more than adequate. He is more than adequate to equip us to change. I keep running into these people who say, I'm sorry, I can't change. And I said, oh, but you can change. And it's best that you change on this side rather than get to the other side and wish you had changed. You can be loving. You can believe. You can be trusting. You can be forgiving. You can overcome mean things that have happened to you. You can be tenderhearted. You can confront. You can love. You can. How can I? He says, here's the secret. Here are the two strategies that God used to change the world. Grace and truth. Now, you can use all the other things that's available to you. But if you're going to live for God, you've got to learn how to master grace and truth. There are a lot of people who try to allow their positions to give them what they need to master life. It doesn't matter how high your position is. The power that you need to deal with the evil one has got to come from a different source. It comes from grace and it comes from truth. Nothing holds a marriage together. Nothing gives one good success. Nothing enables a person to be able to relate to others better than learning how to operate from grace and truth. Why grace? Because grace represents kindness. People respond better to kindness than to meanness. Why grace? Grace represents that unmerited love, that love that cannot be repaid. Grace means that you're operating on the level that God operates from. That God is a giving God. He's a God who says, I've got so much faith in what you can become and do that I am willing to show kindness toward you even when you don't deserve it. And I have found that the one thing that connects people together, regardless of their nationality, is grace. And I've learned how to dispense it. It's easy to give grace. I give grace when I smile. People feel better when you smile at them. Doesn't matter what kind of day they're going through, they just feel better when they smile at you. I went through your grocery store last night, and the lady had been there a long time working. She was tired. She looked tired. It made me feel tired for her. But I did something. It wasn't just charm. It was a gift I wanted to give her. I think you're worth smiling at. And so I smiled. I said, it's good to see you. And guess what? She gave me feedback. Thank you. With a smile. I said, grace works. It works. But it ought to work on the heart. Because what God gave you, you didn't deserve. What God did for you, you didn't deserve. What God has before you, you don't deserve. That God was willing to leave glory, come take flesh, reveal His presence in our midst. And then He took it all to the cross. He took it all to the cross. He died for you and for me. And He didn't deserve to go through that.
He did it for us. You know, every time I began realizing the importance of grace, God's love of us, there's a humility that comes. There's a gratitude because my God did this for me. I had a funeral service just a few weeks ago, and I watched a child who's now a grown person express his sorrow. He'd been somewhat prodigal, but now that dad was gone, you could see the regrets coming down his cheeks. It was as though he was saying, I understand it now. I understand it now. I didn't realize all you did for me. But thanks. Thanks, Dad. People came to pull him away. And he's standing there, no, leave me, thanks. And I thought if you could see that in regard to your earthly father, how much more ought you to see that in regards to your heavenly father? Look what he's done for you. Look how he's blessed you. Look how he's kept you. Look how he's raised you. Look how he has given you what you have needed to be what you need to be. Look at the companion you've got. Look at the children you have. Look at the place where you live. Look at the honors that have come. Look at the space you occupy. You're still here. God has been good to you. Is there somebody who can say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Grace. Now that at my retirement, the best gift that was given to me came from one of my sons who's now in ministry. He came and threw his arms around me and tears were just coming out. They're just coming out. And all he said were two words. Thanks, Pops. That's all he said. But he knew, and I knew, the gratitude behind those tears. He pushed me hard. He increased my prayer life for years. I almost walked away. How many times must I bail you out of jail and clean up some of the mess? He was not my biological child. He was my adoptive child. But I believed in him. I loved him. And now he's a preacher. I am an adopted child by God, and so are you. And he says, my grace I give to you, my kindness. And I give you my truth, my word. I give you my reality. I give you a promise that you can trust. I give you a word you can believe. It is so. It is so. It is so. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It is so. Trust in me and I'll give you victory. It is so. In my Father's house are many mansions. It is so. I will make of you a new person. It is so. It is a truth you can believe. And I wonder this morning if there's somebody here who will say, it is so, Lord, I believe it.
I have been struggling with something in my flesh. And God, you cross over. I believe it is so. You can give me victory. I've been struggling with something in my relationship with an estranged one. And God, you can give me peace. I've been struggling with my future. And God, in you, I find my hope. I wonder if there's someone this morning who will open themselves to an incredible God who offers a great gift from his gracious heart. A gift that can change you because he works through kindness to bring truth to bear upon your life. And change takes place. Our Father, we give you thanks for this morning. We thank you because we have learned to have our faith in a God who is able to do great and marvelous things. We thank you for making possible a new life in Christ. I want that miracle, God. That miracle of crossing over. I want that miracle. That victory that produces radiance. I want that miracle. A changed life. A life that has as its underpinnings kindness and truth that sets all men free. Come into my heart. And God, you who have come in, give me faith to trust you as I seek to cross over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.